Now, if somebody who wasn't a Christian, let's say you're living in another country where there hardly anybody is Christians, you're living in Turkey, you're living in Iran, you're living someplace like that, and somebody asks you the question, why should I become a Christian? How do I know that Jesus was the Son of God? How do you know for sure? So, what would you tell them? Why should I become a Christian? They say, hey, I don't know hardly any Christians around here, and I was raised a Muslim. Why should I become a Christian? How would you answer the question? And they say, hey, what would you say? Any ideas? How do you know that this is true? How do you know that Jesus was the Son of God? You say he is, but Muhammad said he didn't die on the cross and he wasn't raised from the dead. But you Christians believe it. So how do you know?
I have one thought.
Yes.
My first thought is, I might say, well, the Bible teaches it. And then I would also say that the Bible, in terms of like the information it carries, predates the Quran.
Right.
I think that's one of the points I might make. I don't know if it would hold water to the audience, but that would be one of the points I'd make.
Well, I was living for a while in Albania, where most of the people in the country are Muslims. And I remember talking about this with some Muslims, and I said, do you believe in Jesus? They said, absolutely, we believe in Jesus. I said, do you believe he was the Messiah? They said, yes, we do. I said, do you believe he died on the cross and he rose from the dead? They said, no, we don't believe that part. I said, what do you mean you don't believe that part? It says it right in the Bible, in the New Testament, that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead. And they say, we believe the Christians changed that part after the fact, that the Christians doctored the story and they wrote that in there. And so I said to them, well, what about the prophecies of the Old Testament that talks about that? That was written hundreds of years before the time of Jesus. The Christians couldn't have changed it. It's in the Jewish scriptures. And they didn't have an answer for that question. I want to look at one prophecy in particular that's very important. It's mentioned in the New Testament, and people don't know it that well. Now, when the Jews came out, this is about 1,400 years before Jesus, when the Jews came out of Egypt, where did they go? Yes.
Oh, they went to the desert?
That's right. They went into the desert, and how long were they in the desert?
40 years.
40 years. There were 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, and one of the first things that they did when they went to the desert is they went to a mountain. Does anybody remember what the name of the mountain was?
Mount Sinai.
Mount Sinai, okay. What happened at Mount Sinai? Does anyone remember? Yes.
Oh, Moses got the tablets from God.
Okay, Moses got the tablets from God. What was on the tablets?
The Ten Commandments.
Yes, you were going to say something?
Wait, ask the next question.
Okay, all right. You're ready.
All of your questions are answered. Ask the last one.
This is great. So I love asking questions. See, get everybody thinking. So that way I don't have to do as much work. You can answer and ask the question. So they come out of Egypt, and they're traveling down through the wilderness. They come to Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up on Mount Sinai, and he comes down with the Ten Commandments written on stone. And that's near the beginning, and then they spend 40 years altogether in the wilderness, and then Moses dies before somebody leads him into the Promised Land.
Whoa.
Who leads him in?
Well, I have something.
Yes.
I think you might have forgotten a little part.
Okay.
This is just a thought.
Okay.
You might have forgot when Moses struck the rock with his staff.
That's right. Moses, that's a good point. I didn't mention that part. Moses struck the rock when he wasn't supposed to, so he couldn't go into the Promised Land.
Right.
Instead of him going into the Promised Land because he disobeyed God, who did lead him in? Yes.
Was it Joshua?
Exactly. It was Joshua. They're good answers. You guys are really on top of your Old Testament stories here. Joshua led him into the Promised Land. So Moses dies right before, at the end of the 40 years, right before he goes into the Promised Land. And right before he dies, he gives them a lot of warnings and promises about the future. He says, look, you got to make sure you follow God. You got to make sure you follow all the Ten Commandments and all those things. And the warnings that Moses gave right at the end of his life are included in the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, that's the fifth book. There are five books from Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy is Moses talking right before he's about to die. And he says some very important things for the Jews. And one of the things he says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, this is a very important prophecy. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, I'm going to start reading in verse 15. So you can read along or you can just listen. Moses says, and this is shortly before he dies, he's giving a warning and some promises and some direction to the Jews who are left behind. He says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren. Him you shall hear according to all you ask from the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let us not hear again the voice of the Lord our God, nor let us see this great fire anymore, lest we die. Now, Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai.
Really?
Okay, Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. So let's just process what we just read. God says, the Lord your God, he's talking to the Jews, will raise up for you, every word is important here, he will raise up for you a prophet like me, so it's going to be a prophet like Moses from your brethren. So it's going to be another Jew like them, he's going to be from their brothers. Him you shall hear. That means they need to pay attention to what he says. According to all you ask from the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let us not hear again the voice of the Lord our God, nor let us see this great fire anymore, lest we die. Then the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my word in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all I command him. Therefore, whatever man will not listen to him, to whatever the prophet speaks in my name, I will require it of him. So, Moses goes back to the story about 40 years before. So he's about ready to die here. And he says, when God gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai at Horeb, When God came down on the mountain, the whole mountain shook. And God came down the mountain. It says it was like fire from a furnace. There was smoke. There was lightning. The mountain was shaking. And the people were so afraid back then. This is in Exodus chapter 20, 19 and 20. The people were so afraid, they said, Moses, we don't want to hear any more from God. They said, you go up on the mountain and tell us what he tells us. We're afraid of him. We don't want to hear any more. Whatever he says, we'll do it. We don't want to hear any more God because he's scaring us. So you go up on the mountain, you come down, he's up there, whatever he says, we're going to do it. So Moses says here that, so this is 39 years later, when he's about to die, he says, you know, back on that day when I went up on the mountain and I got the Ten Commandments, and you said you didn't want to hear any more from God, he said there was one more command that God gave on that day. It wasn't written down on stone. But God gave the command back on that day. He told Moses, in the future, I'll raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my word in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all I command him. So God told Moses that in the future, not only was he giving them the Ten Commandments then, but in the future he would send another prophet just like Moses from among their brothers. He would put his words in his mouth, and they had to do whatever that prophet said. Now, notice he says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. Now, there were lots of prophets who came after Moses. Can you think of the names of any of them? Prophets who came later. Yes. No, he wasn't. He was before, actually.
He was.
You said Elijah was a prophet.
Isaiah
was a prophet.
Jeremiah.
John the Baptist. Okay. Ezekiel.
Wait.
Hosea. There were lots of them.
John the disciple.
Well, yeah, John the Baptist. So there were lots of prophets who came. So he says, how do you know? Moses told the people, in the future, God will raise up a prophet from among your brothers, and everyone must listen to him. How do you know who is the prophet that he was talking about? How could you tell? For example, the Muslims will say, this is Muhammad. Muhammad is the great prophet that God said to Moses would come in the future. How do you know who was the prophet he's talking about?
Well, Muhammad's not from among
brothers. Okay, Muhammad. Now, he said from among your brothers. He's talking to the Jews here. Muhammad was not Jewish. He was an Arab. So it couldn't have been him, because he says right there, from among your brothers. But how do you know, how will the people know when the prophet that Moses said would come, how will they be able to tell who it was?
Question.
There's a secret to the answer contained in what he says, if you pay close attention.
Question.
Yes.
Muhammad
founded the Muslim religion, and the Muslims will say that Muhammad was the prophet that Moses spoke about here.
But wait.
You have to remember to raise your hand.
I know, but this is then why do Muslims have their own religion if they say that he is priest, and if Noah said, and Moses, and if Moses said, from among your
brothers? That's a good question, because he says it's from among your brothers, and he's speaking to the Jews there, and everybody knows that Muhammad was not a Jew, so it could not have been him. But how would you know? How could you tell for sure who the right prophet was? Because he said he will raise up a prophet from among your brothers, and you must listen to him. I'll put my word in his mouth. How do you know who the right one is? I think there are two clues in here, but can anybody dig out what they are? There are two clues in here. How can you tell which one he's referring to, which prophet?
Because when he says, from your brothers.
So he says, from your brothers, so you had to be Jewish, but that all the prophets were Jewish.
Well, are you talking about the difference between Muhammad and Jesus?
No, I say among all the Jewish prophets, how can you tell? Yes.
I'm not sure about that question, but who's Muhammad?
Muhammad came 600 years after Jesus, and he claimed that he was the prophet who fulfilled this, and he founded the Muslim religion.
I can tell you about it later.
Okay.
Wait, so do Muslims have their own God?
Yeah, there's only one God, so.
Yeah, but.
Let me just continue here. He says, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers.
Because he said a prophet like him.
Right. So if you look at the life of Moses, and you look at the life of Jesus, will they be similar?
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Moses turned the water into blood at the beginning of his ministry. Jesus turned the water into
wine
through miraculously. Okay. Moses, when he was a baby, an evil king tried to kill him and killed a lot of other innocent people. Jesus, when he was a baby,
right,
an evil king came and killed all the people. At the end of Moses' life, no one could find his body. At the end of Jesus' life, when they go to the tomb, there's no body there either. So those are just three or four things, but if you look into the life of Moses, there are many, many things in Moses' life which foreshadow that of Jesus. Both of them were the good shepherd who led their people out of captivity, out of slavery, out of bondage. They both had to fight with an evil king from the kingdom of darkness. Jesus was fighting against Satan and Moses was fighting against Pharaoh. So one clue is that he had to be like Moses. God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. So that's the first clue right there. As you look at the life of Moses and you see the similarities with Jesus. The second clue is something, I taught this passage for 20 years and missed it. And he says in verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. Okay. He's saying he will raise him up. This is how you can tell who the prophet is. God will raise him up. Now, I always took it figuratively, like, hey, we're raising up leaders or something like that. But Peter explains in Acts chapter 3, God meant it literally, that God would raise up the prophet. And that would be the sign that he was, in fact, the prophet that Moses spoke about. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. And this is the last verse we're going to look at here. Because Peter, the apostle Peter, is preaching to the Jews in Acts chapter 3. We'll start in verse 17. So Peter is preaching to the Jews. Jesus has died on the cross. He's raised from the dead. And he's talking to the Jews. He said, Now, brethren, I know you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. But these things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he is thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So Peter's saying Jesus' death and resurrection was fulfilling all that the prophets spoke beforehand in the Old Testament. And then verse 22, he says, for Moses truly said to the fathers, that means their forefathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from Samuel and those who follow. As many as have spoken have also foretold these days. Your sons of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and to your seed and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In verse 26, to you first God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So if you catch what Peter is saying, Moses told your forefathers that he would raise up a prophet from among your brothers. Everyone must listen to him, and anyone who doesn't listen to him will be cut off. And then he makes the point in verse 26, God did raise up his servant Jesus in fulfillment of the prophecy. So the two things about the prophecy, one is he'd be like Moses, the other one was that God would raise him up. That Jesus is the great prophet that God said on Mount Sinai. When he gave him the Ten Commandments, he gave him one more commandment, which I would consider the 11th commandment, is in the future, I will send you a prophet from among your brothers. I will put my word in his mouth. I will raise him up, and you must do everything he says. This prophecy of Moses was given about 1,400 years before the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So the reason I can be confident that this is really true is not just because of the eyewitnesses of the apostles who saw him raised from the dead, but also a prophecy that was fulfilled from 1,400 years before he was born. That's how we know that it's true. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy that was made well over a thousand years before. So I just wanted to share that with you, to encourage you in your faith. Our faith is based on truth, and there's the evidence of the fulfilled prophecies in it, including this one, where God said that he would raise up his prophet. So that's, I just wanted to share that to encourage you in your faith.
Amen. Any questions about that prophecy? I mean, from you, for the concerns, or anybody who hasn't had a chance to speak? Because I'm wondering, in addition to the very specific application of looking at prophecy as a way to find truth, there's a lesson about, in my mind, about when you're confronted with, in the world, someone who challenges that we search. And I think that this is a perfect example of searching and finding, because, like you said, Chuck, every word is very important when we read the scripture. And our answers sometimes require looking more closely.
Yeah, this is when people don't believe and they're challenging me. Why do you believe that? How do I know it's true? I'll show them the evidence of things like this that I can't make up. And then the other challenge is, in the prophecy it says you must listen to and follow everything he says. So this was the challenge, is there's a promise, but there's also a challenge. You must pay attention to, you must listen to, you must follow everything he says. That just as God, when God came down on Mount Sinai and gave the Ten Commandments, he said there's more to come. A future prophet will bring it. I'll put my words in his mouth, and you must do everything he says. So we have to follow the direction that God gave to Moses. We have to follow all the teachings of Jesus too. So there's a great value for us, as well as the confidence of our faith. There's a direction for us and a warning for us too. We really have to follow everything Jesus told us.
I'm a little unclear about the word raised. What did you mean by that? I mean,
the word there in the, I looked this, when he raised him up, this is the critical phrase here. The word that's used there in the New Testament, as well as in the Old Testament, in the Septuagint, is anistami, which means that literally it means raise up. But it could be taken literally. It could be taken in three different senses. The word is exactly like in English. Anistami is the Greek word, and it means it can be taken raise up. For example, I'm raising myself up from the chair. That you could use the word just like in English, could mean to be lifting up. You could use it raising someone from the dead. You could use it for that. Or you could use it for figuratively, God raised up a great leader to shepherd Israel or something like that. God raised up a leader, or you could use it figuratively. So the three different senses in which the word anistami, or raised up, can be used in Greek just like in English, and it's used all three different ways. I always assumed when God says, I'm going to raise up a prophet, I assumed he meant figuratively.
Right.
Like God, you know, God raised up judges or something like that. But actually, the point that Peter is making is he meant it literally, that God would promise that he'd raise up a prophet like Moses. And then in Acts chapter 3, verse 26, he says, and God just did raise him up. He just did raise up Jesus. So he's making the application literally that he was raised from the dead, that that's the sense in which God meant it. You follow? So it's amazing. But if you go back and you read it and you think you've got an Orthodox Bible there, which is based on the Septuagint, if you look in an interlinear translation, it's the same word. So I'm hoping, actually, I'm planning to do a lesson for Scroll Publishing on, which is going to include this prophecy and similar ones where that critical word expression raised up is in there.
Where again in the Old Testament was the raised, was that in that Deuteronomy 18?
Deuteronomy 18, like 15 through 19.
Okay.
Mentioned twice.
And so in the more kind of paraphrased or general equivalent kind of versions, it would probably say something like send. Is that they would take it figuratively?
This is the reason why every word in the scripture is important. And
right.
you want Bible translations that are going to be very specific, because God is explaining very specific things in words. And it's also language that people who aren't paying attention can miss. So it's like a puzzle that's in there. But every word is important. And so I think that's why it's so important to have good, accurate translations, because some people's attitude is that, well, the scriptures are in a general sense inspired. No, they're inspired down to the words.
So could you read the raised up passage? Because I don't have my Orthodox Bible.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, in the more literal translations, Deuteronomy
18:15.
And actually, Peter is quoting the same passage from the Septuagint in Acts chapter 3.
Right.
So Peter is doing nothing more than repeating what it says in the Septuagint.
What's
so I'll follow Peter's translation. Deuteronomy 18:15 says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren.
Right.
And the word is anistami, which is the same word that Peter uses in Acts chapter 3. Okay.
What is your sentence?
Mine says, this is, first of all, is Revised Standard Version, which is the King James This is the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, your brother, and let him you shall heed.
Yes.
And it says, God having raised up a servant, and then the footnote, the servant actually, I don't know what the Greek word is, but my footnote says, poor child. So I don't know.
Actually, before that, the quotes, that's in Acts 26. Before that, in Acts 3, he actually quotes the Deuteronomy passage directly.
Mm-hmm. God having raised up his servant, send him to you first to bless you in turning every one of you from your wickedness.
Yeah.
That's what it says. So he does use the same word in English, raised up.
Right. Okay. the word in English and in Greek, the word raised up, the word that's used there, it means the same thing in English and Greek. It has the same multiple meanings in both languages.
Right. But it's interesting that Peter takes it as a literal expression of what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly happened.
Now you get it. So yeah. I taught Deuteronomy 18 for probably 20 years, and I totally got the idea that Moses would foreshadow Jesus in elements of his life. The whole thing about God literally raising him up, I completely, only within the last year did I stumble on that and realized what Peter was actually saying in Acts 3, which I had never made the connection before. He's saying he would raise him up, and he just did raise him up. That's the proof positive there. That was the critical fulfillment of that prophecy, why Jesus only was the prophet who fulfilled that, the great prophet. And he says, and he did raise him up. And to the Jews, he's saying, Moses told us on Mount, from, and it goes right back to Mount Sinai on the day the Ten Commandments were given. Moses told us that anybody who doesn't listen to him is going to be cut off. Mm. So he's pleading with him, you need to pay attention to what he said. Right. This is the fulfillment. When Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, he is the fulfillment of the law of Moses. This was the last piece of the law of Moses, was that another prophet would come. You follow that? But it's a spectacular prophecy, and I never, until this last year, I never got the power of what Peter is saying there in Acts 3.
I think that if when you include that as the 11th commandment, where you put it, then it obviously extends that branch, that continuity,
right,
into the coming of this prophet,
right,
which can be considered as part of what was revealed to the Jews,
right,
and for consideration in our time,
right
now.
Yes.
Here's a commandment I would like to share.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is so important. If you want to explain to somebody who's Jewish, it's so important because you're kicking it right back to the Ten Commandments when they were given them. But Moses said that another prophet would come, that God would raise him up, and you have to follow everything he says. It's, so they say this is the extension of that. This, by the same token, with Muslims who believe that Muhammad was the prophet, they'll say Jesus was the Christ, but Muhammad was the prophet. Peter explains, no, Jesus was the prophet that Moses said would come, and the proof is that he raised him up.
Right. And that he was from among their brothers.
Absolutely.
Well, they're expecting a prophet, maybe, from among their brothers. I think that this last piece is the really
it's a killer. Now that was
Muslims, they were Muhammad's Arab.
No,
so
I know
it wasn't. So for them, they were to raise an objection, saying, well, Muhammad is the prophet. The prophet is both raised up as Jesus, but also from among the brothers of the Hebrews, the Jews.
I mean, Jewish people. We are waiting for
a prophet.
Exactly. We know that he was Jewish, but how do we know that Jesus?
Peter says it's because God raised him up. That's how we know. That's the power of what he's saying in Acts chapter 3, Solomon's portico. So to me, this is such an amazing prophecy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a fool that for 20 years, I stumbled all around this passage and never saw it. And it's just sitting there. It's so obvious. It's hitting me right in the face.
As you're pointing out, Mary, I feel like that the resurrection, like over and over again over the years, I've been kind of pointed back to just how crucial the resurrection is and how crucial it was to the early believers. I mean, Peter, it's like, it wasn't like wishful thinking on Peter's part. It was like everything hinged on this resurrection of Jesus from the dead.
This is everything. This is the entire Christian faith hangs on the resurrection. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ hasn't been raised, we're still in our sins. Our faith is futile. We're to be pitied more than all men. He hung everything on the resurrection. And that's where it all hangs. Either Christ rose from the dead or he didn't. And if he didn't, we're fools, we're still in our sins, and the apostles are our false teachers. So this is everything.
Yeah, in verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people.
So that's right.
It's a very, very important matter.
Yeah. Where are you reading now?
In Acts 23.
In
Acts 3.
Oh, Acts 3.
3 23.
Yeah, Acts 3, verse 23.
Okay. 3 23.
And he's quoting from Deuteronomy 18 there again.
Totally, yeah.
It's interesting that the translators of some of the newer versions, or more flexible versions. I don't know the right word to miss the importance of this
totally.
Language.
Yeah.
So that they don't appreciate, they're thinking of a concept of, you know, we want to make this easy to understand. And so they don't see that, wait a second, in this situation, you can't play around with the full, the semantic range is limited by the revelation in the New Testament and what exactly is happening.
Right.
It helps you to see the importance of the plain and simple language
totally.
That
totally.
You need to engage with and
yeah.
to hear.
If you really believe that the Bible is inspired down to the Word, which Jesus clearly did, yeah. He based his entire argument on a word for singular versus plural, Paul the same thing, then you can't try to simplify the scriptures and think that you're because there are things that are hidden in there that you don't know what you're dealing with.
I have a practical question about that. Yeah, for the children, sometimes I do use like a simple version.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder, you know, how important is it, you know, that I maybe stick with something that's more literal, even for the younger children,
yeah.
you know, even, you know, like Jonah's age, you know, do I really run the risk of him missing some important things because, you know, of the way that it's written? Or do I just trust that, you know, in time, we'll go over these things, so ask questions, we'll just deal with the you know, the difficulties to their
yeah.
age or whatever, developmentally, you know, and but the importance is that they understand we're gonna work through even some of this more difficult
yeah.
Phrasing or whatever it might be. I'm just kind of
well, Dad,
you know.
He's 7, so you're not gonna be able to
You don't want to, there's no point.